How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. Yes, it is Sunday, February 1st, Super Bowl Sunday, here on Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, streaming online worldwide at WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com. And yes, Mike Sempervivi and I are here for an hour today, Wrestling Observer Live, talking all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and Mike will be giving us updates on the beginning of the Super Bowl. We're only doing an hour today, and so after this show is over, you can head over and watch the Super Bowl or listen to a replay of this program here on Sports Byline USA as you are watching the game. Obviously, a lot of stuff to talk about here today. Last night was UFC 183, Anderson Silva versus Nick Diaz in the main event. It was the return to fighting of Anderson Silva after gruesomely breaking his leg in December of 2013. This was his first fight back. Nick Diaz's first fight in 2 years. We're going to talk all about that fight here this evening. What it means for both guys going forward. Was this the swan song for Anderson Silva, or is he coming back to fight again? We'll talk about that tonight here on the show, as well as all of the results from UFC 183. Also, we've got a lot of news to talk about tonight involving WWE. Fastlane is coming up in a couple of weeks. It is the show that is replacing the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. We've got a couple of matches for the show, including a main event of John Cena against Rusev, a match that was supposed to be taking place at WrestleMania, and my guess is will still be taking place at WrestleMania, unless they've got some sort of weird change in plans for John Cena and Rusev. We'll talk about that here on the program, plus the other matches announced thus far, as well as all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. There's obviously a lot of things going on in terms of Lucha Underground. TNA has been doing some tapings. We might do some TNA spoilers here on the program. We'll give you plenty of warning. And also take your phone calls later on at 855-478-4478. Stick around, everybody. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on Super Bowl Sunday. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, here on Super Bowl Sunday. And if you did not listen to the show yesterday, we've got a big announcement for everybody here today. Beginning later on this month, I can give you the exact date to be exact, February 23rd, which is a Monday, Wrestling Observer Live is going to be moving to 5 days a week. We will be up Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, retaining this Sunday time slot at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. That is, in fact, 6 days a week, live here on the air on Sports Byline USA. We'll talk all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, take your phone calls, etc. And obviously, with a 5-day-a-week schedule, there will be a lot to talk about. Mondays, of course, we can preview the Raw show. Tuesdays, we can talk about Raw, the number one show in pro wrestling. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll occasionally have guests. There's obviously SmackDown to talk about on Thursdays. Wednesdays, we've got Lucha Underground and NXT to talk about. And unfortunately, with TNA moving to Friday nights on Destination America, I guess we'll be talking about that on the weekend show if we end up watching it. But starting on February 23rd, every single week, every day, Monday through Friday, Wrestling Observer Live, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Mike, I know you're ready to go with this, and I presume you're ready to go with the Super Bowl as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I have it up on my iPad right now. I am in the lair of a massive Seahawks fan. I've tried to get as far away from these people as possible to avoid last year, where Seattle started off so well against Denver, and all of the screaming and hooting and hollering was all in the background.
So is the kickoff taking place in, what is it, 5 minutes now, or what time is the kickoff beginning?
I believe about 6:30 or so.
Oh, really? So we got 15 minutes. We'll be doing play-by-play, I guess, for a half hour here on this program. And for all of you that are big sports fans, I know you've been waiting literally a full year for my ongoing Super Bowl play-by-play on Twitter later on this evening.
Very popular last year.
That's right. The only football game all year that I watch. I have no idea what's going on virtually ever, but by God, I'm going to do play-by-play on it. So if you want to follow me at Brian Alvarez over there on Twitter. Now, in other news, obviously last night was the return of Anderson Silva. Anderson the Spider Silva, about a year and 1 month ago, shattered his leg in a match with Chris Weidman. The feeling was that it could be the end of his career, but he was back on his feet literally a lot quicker than people expected. He got back in the training floor and started working out. And the next thing you know, they announced he's going to have a fight with Nick Diaz. And that fight took place last night. And Anderson Silva beat Diaz over five rounds. It was a very interesting fight in some ways. Didn't appear to be the Anderson Silva of old. I do know that there were people that thought, man, Silva really didn't do a lot in this fight. In fact, Silva broke his own record for strikes during that fight. Shots landed last night. So he was working. Diaz basically fell asleep in round three and never woke up. Somehow still thought he won the fight. Mike, what did you make of the return to Anderson Silva last night at UFC 183?
Well, it was a, you know, it was a good fight for him to get back on the horse. I didn't think that Diaz could hurt him as far as his punching. And Diaz's punching is usually, it affects guys after a large accumulation of them. And Anderson Silva's defense is well noted. So I didn't think, you know, it was as far as being knocked out or something like that, or the possibility of it, I didn't think that would happen. So in that way, it was a very good fight for him to get back on the horse. With that said, did he look good? Yeah, he looked pretty good for a 39-year-old guy who had shattered his leg in the way that he did and was off for well over a year. But with that said, should this fight give him the number one contendership or put him right in line for a title shot? I don't believe that it should. But I think the biggest thing coming out of this was Anderson, both of these guys really, whether they'll fight again, but especially Anderson Silva. He kept repeating over and over again how much his family did not want him to fight. He brought up in the post-fight press conference his 17-year-old son, who was in tears asking him not to go back to fighting. And pretty much every other member of his family, save for one other kid, believes that should be the case too. He sounded in his own voice that he had a lot of doubt because of his family, whether or not he should come back. And I got to be honest, if you have, to me at least, and this is just my two cents, I'm going to assume he's got more than enough money in the bank. He certainly has a job from the UFC. He certainly can get sponsors anywhere he'd like to go, especially in Brazil. So when it becomes a matter of the money not being an issue and you don't have to work anymore, and your family is on you that much and you have that much doubt in your mind because of your family, maybe it is time to walk away. And going out with a win over Nick Diaz, he said himself, it kind of shakes the ghost of the Chris Weidman fights. It may actually be time for that, because to be honest, I don't want to see him go in there, at least the Anderson Silva we saw. I don't want to see him go right in there against Chris Weidman. Will more of the ring rust be off? Yes, it will be, but mentally, is he there? We'll see. Ed Soares, his manager, responded to Ariel Helwani last night saying, well, look, just give him some time. This isn't going to be the last time. But the way he kept talking about it in the press conference, and as emotional as he was, you know what? If he goes out and that's the way he goes out after that win against Nick Diaz, who can complain?
Well, a couple of things. First off, there was literally virtually no talk last night of a potential Anderson Silva-Chris Weidman fight. Dana White had said in advance that if Silva won, he might get a shot against Weidman again. But Weidman, first off, is out with an injury. Silva was not even really talking about it. In fact, leading up to the fight, he wasn't sure that he wanted to fight with Weidman if he won. Obviously, as you noted, a lot of talk about his family. Should he fight again? I don't know if we're going to see another Anderson Silva fight. This was a guy that was largely heralded as the greatest fighter of all time. He ends up losing his title when he's clowning around in the ring. He goes for the rematch and he shatters his leg. I mean, that was two losses in a row, both in devastating fashion. Some would even argue, if you're a big Anderson Silva fan, I know you wouldn't, Mike, but some could say that in some ways, perhaps they were both fluke finishes. But regardless, he had a chance to come back, have one more fight, and show that he was still Anderson Silva, and he did. And why the guy would need to fight again, I don't see a need for it. He's obviously got a lot of money. Nick Diaz is another story entirely. I think that Nick Diaz probably isn't going to fight probably for another 2 years. He's going to get his money for this fight, which I'm sure is substantial. He'll spend all of it. He'll end up in poverty again, and then he'll take another fight. And that seems to be the cycle of Nick Diaz. But a guy like Silva, dude doesn't need to fight again. Maybe he will, but
to me, if he does, I would rather see the George St. Pierre, I've always, you know, if they ever fought, to me, it's always been one of those things, you know, Silva's size, you know, depending on what weight they would fight at and everything, if GSP is the one moving up, as great in his, in shape as GSP is, you know, the fight would favor Anderson Silva. But to me, if you're going to have Anderson Silva continue to fight, or if he wants to me, I would make it fights that are, and I know this takes
actually,
away-
hold that thought. We're right up at the break. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be taking your phone calls here in just a moment, 855-478-4478. But before that, Mike was talking about potential future opponents for Anderson Silva.
Yeah, it's not a very sporting thing to do, quote unquote, but if you wanted to do basically glorified exhibition matches where you could have Anderson Silva on the card against an opponent that, you know, does not have the I don't know what it would be, the strength to knock him out or something like that, where it's more of a exhibition sort of thing, or to have a specialized, you know, fight like a George St. Pierre type of super fight or something like that. I think that's the direction I would go. Not a super fight against a John Jones or someone like that, but again, if he's would be intent on fighting again, to me, that would be the direction that you go, and you try to be as safe about it as humanly possible, because just as last night, again, after last night, I just don't see him. You never know. I mean, we could see him fight somebody else and look, you know, turn back the hands of time and look spectacular, but with all the stuff with his family and everything else, to me, it's just, if now would be a great time to walk away, and no one could blame him.
All right, let's see what's on everybody's mind leading into the Super Bowl today. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Dave from Tacoma.
Dave from Tacoma, what's up?
I just want to know, if you know anything about Bo Dallas? Is he going to be coming back?
Yeah, Bo Dallas is cleared to return. He was going to be in the Rumble, but they decided not to bring him back in the Rumble. I don't know why, but he may be back as early as tomorrow. He is ready to go.
Yeah, because I like him better than Adam Rose, but a lot better than Adam Rose, but not much, but yeah.
So you're a Bo Lever is what you're telling me.
I liked his gimmick a little bit better than that, but yeah, Adam Rose is just, I never liked Adam Rose.
All right, well, yeah, he may be back tomorrow. I want to thank you very much for the call. Probably have a couple of returns. Sheamus is scheduled to be back at any time. Randy Orton is probably going to be back tomorrow. Randy Orton actually was supposed to be back on Thursday, but he didn't show up. I mean, it's not like he no-showed, but they decided not to use him. And I think he's advertised officially for tomorrow as well, so you'll probably end up seeing him there. But guys, coming back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy from New Jersey.
What's up, Sammy?
I had a question that's been really lingering to me all week, so hoping you might be able to shed a little light on.
I love lingering questions. What is it?
Do you know how Roman Reigns himself handled last week? Because, you know, I'll admit if I was in the crowd, I'd be booing loud as anybody else. But my friend who was watching with me was really upset after a while at the crowd. He would say they're just booing everything. And he's a fan of Roman Reigns, and he really felt bad for him. I was wondering, you know, thinking this is probably the biggest night of his life, he wonder how he handled that kind of heat that was stronger than last year, where Batista's a veteran could probably handle it.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. You got kind of a scratchy connection there, but I was just reading an interview that Roman had done with, I believe, Sam Roberts on Sirius XM, and he was talking about the fan backlash, and it was very interesting to me that Roman noted, I read everything online. I listen to everything that everybody says. And he admitted, obviously, that there are a lot of critics out there. And this was the interview, by the way, that we were talking about prior to the Royal Rumble, where it sounded like he was setting up a heel turn. He essentially said, I don't really care what any critics say about me. I'm just here doing my job. I'm just here getting rich, he said. It's a very interesting reaction to the fans. But you have to remember that Rock was there with him. And I'm sure that Rock, when he got backstage after everything cooled down, said, listen, dude, I faced the exact same thing when I first started out. In fact, it was worse. The fans were asking for me to die, and I ended up overcoming all of that and becoming one of the biggest stars of all time. So just stick to your guns. Don't worry about the people that are, you know, screaming and booing you and that sort of thing, and just continue on your path. And I'm sure that it was impossible for him not to be affected somehow because he was booed so vociferously, but I'm sure he's fine.
Well, and like a lot of athletes do, maybe he probably should not read and listen to everything said online about him.
Yeah, it's kind of, you got better things to do in your life than read all of the criticism. I mean, sometimes you can't avoid it, but if you start to get obsessed with reading everybody's criticism of you, you're going to have some problems.
You know? Listen to the guys that you should be listening to. I know Steve Austin had said some things about him about, you know, don't take your spot, you know, for granted or anything like that. He had some criticisms for him in the Royal Rumble as far as, you know, kind of laying in the corner and things like that. It's guys like Steve Austin. It's guys like The Rock. It's guys like his father. You know, he's got enough people around him who have been in the business for a long, long time that can really help him along here. And probably, you know, and again, this will, as things go on too, he will be able to check himself a little bit better as far as interviews and things like that go, where you don't give anybody any ammunition that you don't want them to have.
He also had the comment, everyone's favorite comment, about how dare anybody criticize me who's never been in the ring. And I was just sitting there thinking, I've been in the ring, dude, and I probably had more singles matches in my career than you have had at this point. And it's not like I say anything any different than anybody else is saying. I mean, you did lay in the corner a lot during the Royal Rumble. I have nothing against Roman Reigns, but there wasn't a lot that he did in that Royal Rumble. And really, I mean, it's not real, obviously, and so he was only scheduled to eliminate 6 guys. This is not his fault, but it is interesting. I mean, I'm just baffled at the handling of Roman Reigns. The idea that you're going to try to make him this big star, and he doesn't even do anything in the Royal Rumble. He's nothing. A bigger star in the Rumble, realistically, was Bray Wyatt. I mean, why wasn't that Roman Reigns spot of clearing the ring like 6 times or something like that? Why would you have Roman Reigns come out 3 guys after they eliminated Daniel Bryan? Why would you have Roman Reigns, after being booed vociferously at the Royal Rumble, have his first live match back on television be a 15-minute match with the Big Show? I mean, could you possibly do anything worse with this guy than what they're doing? It's not even his fault this has been so bad.
Did he even eliminate Bray Wyatt? He didn't, did he?
I can't remember. His Royal Rumble performance was so underwhelming, I remember nothing except for the end.
The complete opposite of last year.
Yeah.
There were a lot of logic issues a lot of mind-boggling things. It's amazing that the Royal Rumble was only last week. It with all of the stuff that happened and with all the news that happened during the week with the snow and the Studio Raw and the whole 9 yards, it just feels like forever ago now with all the reaction that came from that. And you know, hey, look, when people are banging on the doors as you're trying to cut a promo in the bottom of the building with The Rock, and they're pounding on the garage doors because they're that upset, I mean, it had to have shaken them a little bit. But again, a lot of this is not Roman Reigns' fault, and unfortunately, it's WWE's issues, and they have had a lot of them.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
What's up, Ryan?
Went to report to you on 2 awesome shows I went to last night.
You went to 2 shows?
Before you do that, the New England Patriots received the kickoff, and they are beginning their first drive of Super Bowl 49.
My God, I don't know what that means, but it sounds serious. Ryan, you went to 2 shows last night?
Yeah, I had to drive like a bat out of hell to do it, but I pulled it off.
Well, what was the first one?
First one was at the Covey Parade Dojo in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia.
Is that what you were talking about when you said that you were going to the dojo?
Right.
I thought that you might be starting to take karate, for example.
No, just checking out a wrestling show.
Mm. Well, how was this show?
Okay, the show featured one of your favorite wrestlers, and Dylan Benostic, Justin Bieber of pro wrestling, who worked the dark match. He defeated Dexter Poindexter, the wrestling nerd, with a backcracker after Dylan's girlfriend, Miley Cyrus, a pro wrestling, distracted the nerd with her assets.
Did you get all that, Mike?
To Miley Cyrus, yes.
Miley Cyrus, yes. The Miley Cyrus of pro wrestling.
Oh, I thought her name was DeMiley Cyrus.
Oh, maybe
Sorry. It
was. Was it DeMiley Cyrus? Is that her name?
The Miley Cyrus of pro wrestling, Ray Lynn.
Ah, okay.
I see. That's her gimmick, Mike.
Ray Lynn?
Right. I believe she's employed by TNA Wrestling as a developmental wrestler at Ohio Valley Wrestling.
I don't know if they've got a relationship with Ohio Valley anymore. I know they did, but I think that that relationship is now no more.
Okay. The best match on this show was Crazy Shay against the Napalm Bomb. What made this match so great was Crazy Shay had this gimmick where he had a valet that was a crazy baker.
A crazy baker?
Right. She sold these cupcakes at the matches, and I just happened to be right beside the cupcakes. My seat was, and they were pretty good cupcakes.
Now, as a baker, could she, just by looking at her, could she make it rise?
Yeah, what does that mean by a crazy baker as well, to ask a PG question?
Well, they're called chaos cakes instead of cupcakes. The fans don't know what exactly is in them. Some people think there might be something fishy in these cupcakes.
Well, you said you ate one. Was there anything fishy in the cupcake?
I felt pretty good, actually, so maybe there was something in the
cupcake. Really? Wow. That is a crazy baker, because I'm not sure that's legal. Quickly, what was the other show you went to? Because we're running low on time here.
Okay, the other show was UFC show. I just caught the main event. And I do still think that the main event matches at UFC are predetermined. And I know that guy from Canada is going to call in and say that I'm full of it, but I've been watching UFC for about 15 to 20 years now. So I think I know what I'm talking about.
And you're convinced that they booked Anderson Silva to win the fight?
Well, the reason I feel this way is because the Diaz guy was doing all these cocky, flamboyant poses. I'm sure Anderson could have knocked him out pretty easily while he was doing all these cocky
I see. So they wanted to give the fans their money's worth. Ryan, I hate to tell you we're out of time, but we're out of time. We're going to head to a break, everybody. Back with a lot more here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline broadcast. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here on Super Bowl Sunday, everybody, we're going to get a Super Bowl update from Mike here in a moment. First off, a couple of very important announcements. As noted at the beginning of the show, beginning February 23rd, Wrestling Observer Live moving to 6 days a week live. We will retain the Sunday slot, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, and beginning on the 23rd, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, an hour every day, news, phone calls, emails, interviews, and more. That starts February 23rd here on Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. I actually ran out of things that were on, but obviously streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com. Anyway, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, that's where you should go, WrestlingObserver.com. After the Super Bowl tonight, we're going to be back again, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Myself and Vinny are going to be up. Vinny, of course, works for Football Outsiders, and so we'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl. Plus, we will be reviewing NXT and Lucha Underground. So it should be a very, very exciting show tonight. That's only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Subscribers get full access to every show that we do. I'm talking over 6,000 hours of audio archive dating back to 2005. We do 2 shows a day minimum, and all of those are available only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you like this show, I guarantee you will love a subscription. You will never run out of audio to and from work, during work, while you exercise, wherever you listen to your audio, during your commute, wherever. You'll never run out of audio of your favorite wrestling show in the world, Wrestling Observer Live. So sign up at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, what's the latest on this bowl game here?
I may be a little bit behind right now, but Seattle forced New England to punt. And as it stands right now, with about 10.5 to go in the first quarter, it is 3rd and 2, Seattle, trying to drive for this first down here. So we will see what happens.
So it's 0-0 is what you're telling me.
Yes, no score so far, 0-0.
All right. It's absolute madness here in Seattle. I live in Seattle, as everybody is well aware.
And Marshawn Lynch stopped 3 yards behind the line, forcing Seattle to punt.
My God, my favorite Mongolian grill is shut down. I tried to go to the grocery store. I thought I would be killed. It's just madness, a madhouse here. And shortly after the show ends, I'm going to my buddy Dave Gray's house, and we will be watching the Super Bowl. My wife's heading over. She's a huge Marshawn Lynch fan. He's her favorite athlete in the world. And I will be doing live tweeting at Brian Alvarez for those of you that are looking for the most in-depth analysis of the Super Bowl that you will find anywhere in the world at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's your favorite caller, Ed in San Antonio.
What's up, Ed? Entertain me.
Sorry to disappoint anyone. I really don't have any wrestling news this week other than to say that my guarantee last week was right. Shine 24 was better than the Rumble. But I have a question for Mike. And
yes.
Mike, last night, by some miracle, I came across some Mid-South on the WWE Network. And I have to ask you this important question. When did Hacksaw Jim Duggan become Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
You know, it took forever, yeah, for anybody. And it's Black History Month on the WWE Network, which, you know, the stuff that they have added, if you are on the WWE Network, they have added a Mid-Atlantic show. They've added a Mid-South show. They've added a lot of stuff, interviews with Bad News Brown, the Pretty Young Things, when they were teamed up with Percy Pringle in Florida, promos and things like that. I mean, they've really added some cool stuff. And so far, this is the first time we've been able to get things like, you know, full episodes of Mid-Atlantic and Mid-South on the network. So that's actually really, really cool right there. But yeah, from the time that he started there, he was Duggan. If you hear Boyd Pierce, Bill Watts, everybody, it's always Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And I can't remember when it was. I'd have to look it up and find out when it was where finally they started to refer to him more as Duggan. But even when he was referred to as Duggan, they would still call him Duggan just to annoy him and get him upset. But by the time he became a babyface before he left to go join with the WWF, he was being called Hacksaw Jim Duggan. But while he was a bad guy, he was known as Duggan.
Okay, and when did Rick Rude also change his name? Because I believe it was R-O-O-D. And also, when did he gain about 30 to 40 pounds of muscle?
With Rick Rude, you know, starting off in Memphis, he was part of that legendary trade, quote-unquote, that saw the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, and a handful of people go to Mid-South, while the Memphis territory ended up getting Masao Ito and Rick Rude, who at that point was very, very young. And as Jim Cornette always will say, it's the only time anyone ever got the best of Jerry Jarrett in a business deal, because what Bill Dundee and the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express were able to do for Mid-South was absolutely amazing. But it was when he moved from Mid-South to Memphis in 1984, the very beginning of the year, they were going to make him one of the new young stars, and they aligned him with Jimmy Hart. They changed his name to R-U-D-E, and they gave him a valet angel, and from there he went, and he got bigger as the year went on, and he got better as the year went on. You can go on YouTube and watch some of his promos and some of those shows from January of 1984, and the strides that he made to the end of the year before he left to go to Florida, where he ended up joining up with Percy Pringle, which then he ended up in World Class with Percy Pringle after that, before they both ended up in the WWF a couple years later down the line. It was absolutely leaps and bounds. His year, and you can pretty much watch the whole, you know, all of Rick Rude in 1984 in Memphis, the strides that he made were absolutely outstanding. And he always kind of had that lean body, but obviously it was the 80s and there was a certain look and there were certain things available. But yeah, he certainly put on some weight.
Okay, and real quick before you cut me off, Brian.
Actually, before I cut you off, hold on, Ed. I want to give you an opportunity to plug your bus gimmick.
Okay, yes, for anyone going to WrestleMania, if you're planning on going to our Friday night dinner and going to ROH, which is very far out of the way, I'm thinking about renting a chartering a bus to go to there, because the WrestleMania bus went over so well. I'm just looking for interest, so if you can, email me at f4wfan@hotmail.com or just comment on the Facebook page, and if I have enough interest, I'll charter a bus to ROH, because it is very far out of the way. Thank you.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for the call, Ed. F4WFan@hotmail.com is Ed's address if you want to be involved in a bus trip to Ring of Honor on a WrestleMania weekend. So check that out. Mike, when are you going to go to WrestleMania?
At some point, I'll go. At some point, I'll go.
At some
I was
point.
Supposed to go for New Orleans, and New Orleans was one I was really looking forward to. And unfortunately, we had everything planned out. My brother bought the room, the whole nine yards, and then he gets a call I'm trying to think of when it was. It was November or something like that, saying, oh, yeah, in January, you're going to be moved to England, which is where he is at right now, doing two or three. I can't even remember how many years it is there for the Air Force. So, yeah, that kind of stole all of our thunder there. But I'm going to make it to one at some point.
What about Cowboys Stadium? They need all the help they can get. 100,000 people is what they're trying to put into that building.
Yeah, you know, I'm more interested in that to see what the ticket prices are going to be. And I know you can
dude,
you know, still
they're
going to
be cheap.
Yeah, I mean, you can still charge pretty good prices. This isn't like, you know, I heard Dave last night saying they're scaling the MGM Grand for Pacquiao and Mayweather. The cheapest ticket's going to be $1,000, and they're looking for a $40 million gate and everything. But, you know, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, when it came to the records on that stadium, they're going to, I think, need 110,000 or whatever it is to actually technically break the record. And as long as they get probably 80 in there, they can go ahead and announce the record, whether it's true or not. But I'm interested to see what the ticket prices are going to be, because Dallas is obviously big. There's lots of places to stay in the metropolitan area, but it's again, it's not a cheap trip. And when the ticket price may be cheap, but when you factor in everything else, it's still a very expensive trip to go on.
I would be very, very surprised if they did not put 82,000 people in there. And if they put 82,000 people in there, they have broken the record. The official WWE, the real legitimate attendance record for WWE is somewhere around 80,000, I believe, for the SummerSlam in Wembley Stadium. WrestleMania 3, the actual real-life attendance was about 78,000. So I think if they put 82,000 in there, they're going to announce that they broke the 93,000 imaginary record that they have created. And I think if they put 90,000 in there, they will announce 100. In fact, they may do 100,000 plus no matter how many they put in. I'm not entirely sure. But
as far as bragging rights for them go, it will still be more than what the UFC in all likelihood would be able to put in there, too.
Well, I think that WWE would put more in there than UFC, because I don't think WWE has any problem with, if need be, selling cheap seats for like $10. I can
and
see
a better
doing
Latino
that.
Fan base, too.
That's right. I don't see UFC selling cheap seats for anything less than probably, I don't know, $100? I don't know what their cheapest...
Maybe $75, you know, to be
maybe.
In the nosebleeds.
Yeah, I just see them scaling their tickets much higher, and as a result, I don't see them putting as many people in there with as WWE. I, honest to God, and listen, I'm just speculating, everybody, so do not make plans based on what I'm saying right now, because I could be dead wrong. But I would not be surprised in the slightest. I shouldn't say that. How can I say this? I can imagine a scenario... How about that? I can imagine a scenario where 1 hour before WrestleMania is going to kick off, they just open the doors. And if you're in the area, you can come in for free. And they just want to fill up every single one of those seats. I'm not saying that I think that that's going to happen or anything like that. I'm just saying I could imagine the scenario, because they're going to want to break a record in the biggest building that they can fit all of these people into. I can imagine a scenario where they do that. But listen, as soon as they put tickets on sale, everybody, if you plan on going, buy a ticket, because I'm just saying, I can imagine a scenario. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just making sure that I cover all my bases here.
And you know they're going to stack that card with, I mean, I'm not saying this is going to happen either, but, you know, could The Undertaker and Steve Austin do something? Could The Rock and Triple H be against each other? They are going to throw everything against the wall for that, not just for, you know, historical wrestling purposes, but for all of the pomp and circumstance that's going to go around that thing, and them telling the media we're getting to get 100 and whatever it is, 1,000 people in this joint.
Well, all I'll say, I doubt they've even discussed this with Steve Austin. I don't know if Steve Austin would want to do it, but the show takes place on April 3rd. Of 2016. And so you have got a built-in hook, April 3/16, and you have Steve Austin come back in Texas, and he headlines the biggest WrestleMania all time, all our lives. If I were Steve Austin, I would seriously consider this offer, but I'm not Steve Austin. I don't know what he's going to do.
I think physically, this is one of those ones where if physically you can do it, I have a feeling the money will be so good for it. How can you deny it? You know, and he doesn't have to go in the Hall of Fame. I think no matter what happens, the Undertaker going in next year, it just makes, you know, way, way too much sense.
Oh, I think for sure Undertaker's going in next year. We'll see if Undertaker wrestles at WrestleMania this year. There's still time to have a match. I mean, the opponent would almost certainly be Bray Wyatt. That is what they have. Apparently, we just got an interception. I don't know what that means, but it's a football term, I've been told.
That means New England has turned the ball over. It is Seattle's ball, which is more embarrassing for New England because they were driving and in the red zone, which means they were very close to scoring on their own.
Oh, man. I knew my team would do it. We'll talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show today. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Super Bowl is in full swing right now. Mike, what is the update?
I'm a little bit behind as far as what the TV goes because I'm using the NBC app here, but Lane from Seattle got the interception in the end zone and actually hurt his elbow. He's being carted off right now back to the locker room so they can do probably MRI, x-ray on his arm to see what happened there. But Seattle now has the ball, first and 10 at their own 9-yard line, and embarrassing start for New England.
All right, everybody. Later on tonight, I'm going to be back here with a brand new show only for subscribers. Vinny V of Football Outsiders, obviously, is going to be on the show. We'll talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, but also full reviews of WWE NXT, as well as Lucha Underground, only for subscribers. After that, I am out of here for a while, but still regular show programming on the website. When I return on February 23rd, we will be going Monday through Friday here on the program. Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA. We will retain the traditional pre-pay-per-view time slot here on Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, and replays throughout the week. Make sure you check out WrestlingObserver.com for more. We'll have a lot of news coming up in the next couple of days as well. Raw is tomorrow. A huge announcement by Triple H. What could that be? We'll find out tomorrow. And a lot, lot more. Check out Observer.com. And, of course, thank you, everybody, for listening. All the folks at Sports Byline, Mike, as always, we'll talk to you again very soon. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.